In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we do this broadcast live. You know, I really think that we who read the scriptures are kind of stupid. You might ask me, why? Because we see Jesus doing things, and we don't do them. I'm telling you, this is very important. So I'm looking at the 10th chapter of Luke. And let's see what Jesus does, okay? Let's see what Jesus does. We don't do this, but let's see what Jesus does. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So this was the tool, the evangelical tool of Jesus. He appointed 70, and he sent them two by two to the places that he was going to go. They were to prepare his way. Isn't that amazing? Do we do things like that? Do we do things like that? I don't think so. Do we send people two by two to the places that we're going to preach? Or even if we don't do that, do we get people to pray in the chapel while we're preaching or praying for healing, preparing the way for the Holy Spirit to come? Do we do things like that? Or do we just go and do what we need to do? Well, I'm not saying God doesn't work through that, but Jesus, who is the Lord, who is true God and true man, he appoints 70 disciples to go before him. To go before him, to prepare the way. Now, I'm talking now about Vincent Ferrer. He was a Dominican priest. A Dominican priest who preached the judgment, who preached the last things. He had 10,000 penitents that went before him. He listened to what Jesus did and did it. And these penitents would go to the places that he was going. And they would be worshiping God, praising God, adoring Christ. They would be singing songs, yes, making the way for the preacher. The penitents did more work than the preacher because they went before the preacher. There were thousands of miracles that this Dominican priest did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thousands and thousands of miracles. But he did what Jesus did. He sent people before him to prepare the way. Like it's making, if a river needs a river bed in order to run through. The penitence of Vincent Ferrer created a spiritual riverbed by praying and worshiping God and fasting. They prayed and sang songs and fasted to prepare the way for the preacher. They prepared a riverbed for the river of God to flow through. And there were thousands and thousands of miracles that Vincent Ferrer did. After these things, Jesus appointed another 70 and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Then he said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We pray that you, O Lord, would send laborers with the heart of Jesus into the harvest. Laborers who love your people. Shepherds who will care for the sheep. We don't need more laborers. We need shepherds that will care for the sheep. We need shepherds that have a heart for the sheep. We need shepherds that are filled with the Holy Spirit and compassion. We need shepherds that are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Oh God, send forth shepherds. Send forth shepherds. Send forth shepherds into your field. Send forth shepherds to do the work of God. Shepherds after the heart of Jesus. Send forth shepherds. We need shepherds, O Lord. And not any shepherds. Shepherds that have that heart of Jesus, that care for the sheep. Oh, God, we don't need more men and women. We need men and women who are sold out to you and who have your heart for the people. Oh, there are so few of them, Lord. You know, because it can become a job being a shepherd. And I'm telling you, being a shepherd is not a job. Being a shepherd is a vocation. Being a shepherd means you're going to care for the sheep. Being a shepherd knows you're also a sheep, and that your good shepherd, Jesus, calls you to shepherd his people and to love them and to be Jesus for them. And sometimes that's very difficult. I just spoke on WEZE about not enabling drunks. You know, if you're a good shepherd, you don't enable a drunk. If you're a good shepherd, you don't enable a drug addict. If you're a good shepherd, you love them and get them help. But you don't enable them. You don't break the fall. You don't do that, because they're only going to get worse. Alcoholism and drug addiction is a progressive disease that wants to kill people. Ultimately, it wants to kill people. And if you break the fall, you're making yourself feel good and not the person. If the person is a drunk and lands in jail, don't bail them out. Let them stay. Let them smell the misery of a jail until the jail does its work in his heart that he doesn't want to be there anymore, or she doesn't want to be there anymore. I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult. And it's more difficult for the people than it is for the drunk, because we want to save people. But you see, you don't save people by helping them all the time, get out of their predicament. No, no, no. You don't save people that way. You let them smell the pigsty like the prodigal son. And when the pigsty had done its work, then he was ready to go home for Papa. Until the pigsty does its work, you cannot help anybody. Until the person who is a drunk or a drug addict does, until it does its work, that they reach the lowest of the low and they come to the realization by the grace of God, always by the grace of God, they cannot go any further. Then they can be helped. But don't break their fall. Yes, we need laborers in the field that will care for the sheep. And then he says to them, go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Yeah, that's something, isn't it? That's why we need Jesus to be with us. These men were going before Jesus to prepare his way, but they were to know that they were like lambs among wolves, that their wolf wanted lamb chops, that there would always be people that would want to pull them down, that would want to destroy them, that would speak evil of them. Then he says, when you enter into a house, remain there, eating and drinking the things they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Do not go from house to house. So you stay in the house. And what do you do when you stay in the house? And whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat the things they set before you. Heal the sick that are in that house, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh upon you. So you're preparing the way for the Lord. And what are you to do? You are to heal the sick. You are to leave a blessing. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's when God starts doing things like that through his people. People start taking notice. People start taking notice. When God starts healing the sick, people start taking notice. It's an evangelical tool. God does it through the Holy Spirit because he loves people. But he will not do it unless we do the praying. I often have been asked, what if the people are not healed? I say, you know what? I am called to pray for the sick. I am not called to heal them with my power. If the sick are healed, hallelujah, God gets the glory. If the sick are not healed, hallelujah, I don't get the back stuff, you know. I don't get the grief because I didn't do it anyway. I'm called to pray for the sick, to speak healing to the sick, that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way onto the streets and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves to us, we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh upon you. Yes, I tell you, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, for the cities that have rejected Jesus. Shake the dust off your feet if they do not receive you. That's judgment. That's judgment. That's judgment, you see. You know, judgment is the other side of love. Judgment is the other side of love. You know, love is not always beautiful kisses and hugs. Sometimes it comes as judgment. And when it comes as judgment, let me tell you, it is calling people to repentance. Judgment is not to destroy, but to call people to repentance. Our country is under the judgment of God. Economically, for what we do to the unborn and the elderly, our country is under the judgment of God. I would dare say the Western Church is under the judgment of God for how little we have done for the unborn, how little we have done for the poor. I would say we've given our poor to the state and to the nation rather than caring for them ourselves. Let me tell you, my friends, the state cannot give the poor the faith to move mountains. I'm telling you, my friends, people like Monsignor Biting, who works with the poorest of the poor in Appalachia, he cares for the poor. People like Heidi Baker, not Catholic, that's in Mozambique, has thousands of people. She cares for the poor. She doesn't rely upon the state. The state can give us nothing. When the church gave the poor to the state, it was the biggest mistake. There were hospitals in Italy that used to depend upon providence, that God would give them what they needed, and the Lord rewarded faith day by day. They saw miracles. I tell you, when we start depending upon the state and not upon the Lord, we're in deep trouble. Because the state has nothing to give us. This is real. This is real. And I believe it's been a big pitfall of the church that we've relied upon the state. And you say, well, where are we going to get the money? I tell you, when you live by faith, God does things. When you live by faith, God does things. You know, they started Home for Unwed Mothers in Quincy with Sister Miriam and Marilyn Burney. They accept nothing in that house from the state. Nothing. Because they want to preach and teach the young women. They want to bring them into the glory of God They want to bring them into the life of the Spirit. You see, when the state starts giving you money, then they tell you how to run your business. Listen, when the business is the business of God, it's not a business. It's shepherding people. It's shepherding people. Let's see what happens now. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling from heaven like lightning. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, he rejoiced, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, they came back. They came back and they said, we saw the devil coming out of people. We healed the sick. Things were happening. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. He said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Written in heaven. Rejoice that you're a child of God. Rejoice that you've been adopted through the blood of the Lamb. Rejoice that your home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, St. Paul says to the Philippians. And from there we await the great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will give a new form to our bodies. Don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that you're on your way to heaven. Rejoice in that reality. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. He rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes, the disciples, these 70. Even so, Father, it is good in thy sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The Son reveals the Father. And then he said to his disciples privately, Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see, and they didn't see it. To hear the things that you hear, and they didn't hear them. David wanted to see Messiah, and he never saw him. Isaiah wanted to see Messiah, and he never saw him. Jeremiah wanted to see Messiah, and he never saw him. David wanted to see Jesus Christ risen from the dead. He never saw him. David wanted to see Jesus Christ the Lord, and he never saw him. But we see him. We see him in faith. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, and the ears that hear what you hear. For many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see and hear what you hear and didn't. We see Jesus. We see Jesus, the full revelation of the Father. We see Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. We hear Jesus in his word. We hear Jesus as he comes to us through the Bible. We see Jesus and eat him as we receive the Eucharist. That's what I say to people, you can't leave the Eucharist. 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 No matter what happens, no matter how bad the preaching is in your church, you can't leave the Eucharist. It's the body and blood of the Lord. It's the Lord himself. You can't leave the Eucharist. Let me tell you, my friends, blessed are the eyes that have seen what you see, and the ears that have heard what you heard. David wanted to hear it. Malachi wanted to hear it. All the prophets want. Abraham wanted to see it. He didn't see Jesus. Didn't see Jesus. Only from heaven. I'm telling you, my friends, it is so interesting that the Lord looks at the little ones, you know. These are the 70. These are nobodies. These are people that are little and poor and broken that he sent before him. These are not the greatest men in the world. And he looks at them and says, blessed, Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. Blessed. Do you know that your eyes are blessed? Blessed are the ears that hear of the redemption in the blood of Jesus. Do you know that your ears are blessed? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know that you've touched the Lord when you receive the Eucharist and He comes into your heart and into your body? Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Don't think you're not blessed. We need that anointing to know who we are in Christ. We need to see the things that Jesus did and do them. Jesus sent people before Him to prepare His way. When we preach, we need at least people to be praying while we're preaching, while we're going out, while we're praying for the sick. We need that. I know in Antioch weekends, whenever someone was giving a talk, there were two people in the chapel with their arms outstretched like a cross, like a crucifix, like a cruciform, and they prayed that people would come to know Jesus through this talk, through the preaching of the gospel. This is what Jesus did. Why don't we do the things that Jesus did? Jesus sent them out two by two. Why don't we send them out two by two? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do what Jesus did? I guess we just read the scripture and have no idea what it all means, what Jesus did. Father, I thank You that You sent out people to prepare the way for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank You that Vincent Ferrer did the same thing. I thank You that there are some people like Francis who sent out his brothers two by two. I thank You, and You moved powerfully by the power of God. I thank You, Lord, that You have asked us to depend upon You and not the state. Father, I thank You for this. And I ask You, Lord, that our ministries would look more like Your ministry, Jesus. Not American ministries, but Your ministry. And if we can't send people before us, we can have people praying for us while we go. So important, because it means life and death, heaven and hell, healing and sickness. Father, You are God, and Your Son is God, and the Spirit is God. I pray the power of the Trinity would come upon the church again, and that our ministries would look like the ministry of Jesus. Blessed are your eyes that see what you see, people. Blessed. I'm telling you, between November 10th and 13th, at the Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts, we're going to have WOW, W-O-W, Warriors of Worship. And I'm going to give you the 800 number, 800-722-4175, 800-722-4175. WOW, between November 10th and 13th, at the Holiday Inn in Woburn, 2012. WOW, Warriors of Worship. If you haven't come, you need to come. Get your tickets now, 800-722-4175. 800-722-4175. 800-722-4175. Warriors of Worship. I'm saying to people all around the country, this is in Woburn, Massachusetts. Warriors of Worship, 800-722-4175. I also want to announce something that's happening at St. Thomas Aquinas Church on the 11th, that's Saturday, the 11th of October, next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday at noon. They're joining people all over the world praying the rosary at St. Thomas Aquinas Church at noon next Saturday, and that's in Nahant. That's in Nahant. I'll be announcing those things again. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills, and the telephone number, or I should say the mailing address, is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I really do need to hear from people because we cannot do this work without your help. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you know what? We need to look at the things Jesus did in the New Testament and start to form our ministries after Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.